One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Blake Winchester Loves America the Most podcast show on the Freedom Flame Podcast Network. This isn't just another podcast. It's a battle cry. A battle cry in the war for America's soul. Blake Winchester doesn't just love America, he's here to save it. If you're not ready for hard truths and even harder consequences, turn back now.
Ladies and gentlemen, patriots of this great nation, welcome back to the Blake Winchester Loves America the Most podcast, the only show brave enough to rip the mask off the woke mob and expose their relentless crusade against our way of life. Let me tell you, today's topic is one that has me fired up like a 4th of July barbecue, and not the kind with those veggie burgers the left keeps trying to sell us. No, I'm talking about the war on American tradition. Yes, folks, the enemy isn't just at the gates. It's in our schools, our homes, our music, and even the hearts of our children. This war has two battlefronts that you've probably seen but didn't realize were connected: the so-called brat summer and the mindless phenomenon of Swifty fever. I know what you're thinking. What do these things have in common? Well, sit tight, because I'm about to connect the dots. And when I'm done, you're going to see the picture clear as day. And America under siege. Let's start with brat summer. Sounds harmless enough, right? Just kids letting loose, having fun, maybe even rediscovering their rebellious side. But no, this is not the harmless teenage phase you might remember from the good old days. This is an orchestrated attack on the very fabric of respect and discipline that built this nation. Brat summer encourages kids to embrace selfishness, reject authority, and laugh in the face of tradition. This isn't just about kids being kids. It's about raising a generation that sees independence, hard work, and respect for elders as laughable relics of a bygone era. When I was a kid, things were different. My father, God rest his soul, once told me that respect starts at home. And you know what I did? At the ripe old age of 9, I started insisting that my family recite the Pledge of Allegiance before every meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It didn't matter if we were eating Cheerios or pot roast. Nobody touched their fork until we'd pledged our allegiance to this great nation. My mom thought it was overkill, but let me tell you, my dad was proud. Blake, he said, you're a young patriot in the making. Compare that to today's kids who think patriotism is sharing a flag emoji on Instagram. And then there's Swifty Fever, a disease sweeping across this nation faster than a California wildfire. Folks, we've reached a point where grown adults are lining up for hours, paying thousands of dollars just to watch Taylor Swift prance around a stage singing breakup songs. And these people call themselves fans. I call them the lost sheep of modern America. Because while they're crying over all too well, our freedoms are being shredded like a Hillary Clinton email. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying music is bad. I love music. But music used to mean something. When I was a teenager, I spent my summers listening to John Philip Sousa marches while mowing the lawn. You know what that taught me? Discipline, pride, and the value of a hard day's work. Compare that to today's youth, who can't even mow a lawn without their AirPods blasting, "Shake It Off." What exactly are they shaking off? Accountability? Responsibility? Basic human decency? And let me tell you, this isn't an accident. No, my friends, this is a carefully coordinated effort by the elites, the globalists, and the woke puppet masters pulling the strings behind the scenes. They know that a population distracted by meaningless pop songs and teenage rebellion is a population too weak to fight back. It's a classic bait and switch. You're too busy crying over Taylor Swift's latest breakup to notice that your rights are being stripped away one by one. And here's where it gets even darker. The so-called brat summer isn't just a cultural trend. It's a psychological operation. It's designed to make kids reject authority, not because it's cool, but because it's necessary for the globalist agenda. If kids don't respect their parents, their teachers, or their country, who will they respect? Nobody. And that's exactly what the elites want. A generation of morally bankrupt, aimless individuals who are easy to control. Now, I know some of you might think I'm exaggerating. Blake, you say, it's just a music craze. It's just kids being kids. But let me ask you this. When was the last time you saw a teenager stand up at a dinner table and say, "Thank you for this meal"? When was the last time you saw a classroom of kids genuinely excited to learn about the sacrifices made by our founding fathers? It doesn't happen anymore. And it's not because kids have changed. It's because the system is rigged against them. Let me tell you about a recent experience I had. I went to a wildlife sanctuary last weekend to reconnect with nature. You know, the real America, not the concrete jungles the left wants us to live in. I wanted to see bald eagles, the ultimate symbol of freedom. But do you know what I saw instead? Falcons. Falcons everywhere. Signs that said, "Protect the falcons. Our future depends on it." I asked the park ranger where the eagles were, and do you know what she said? "Eagles are problematic." Problematic. Folks, that was the moment I knew we'd crossed a line as a society. When the bald eagle becomes a liability in the land of the free, you know the woke mob has gone too far. And don't even get me started on schools. I heard from a listener last week, a proud mom of three, who told me that her son's history textbook had an entire chapter on Taylor Swift, but only 2 pages on the Revolutionary War. Let that sink in. 2 pages on the war that gave us our independence, but an entire chapter on a pop star whose greatest accomplishment is rhyming heartache with milkshake. This isn't just bad curriculum. This is indoctrination. But patriots, I'm not here to just complain. I'm here to fight, and I need you to fight with me. We have to take back our culture, our traditions, our schools, and yes, even our music. We have to teach our kids the value of respect, hard work, and love for this country. We have to remind them that being an American means standing tall, standing proud, and never apologizing for our greatness. Are you ready to stand with me? Are you ready to say, "Not on my watch"? Because if we don't act now, we'll wake up one day to find that the America we love is gone. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let that happen. Not going to let that happen, patriots. Not now, not ever. You see, I've spent too many sleepless nights thinking about the America I grew up in, an America where respect for authority was a given, where we knew our history and took pride in it, an America where kids didn't idolize celebrities who sell out stadiums to cry about their exes. They looked up to astronauts, war heroes, and maybe even their own dads. We've lost that, and it keeps me up at night. But let me tell you, this isn't the first time I've faced a cultural crisis. Oh, no. There was this one time, years ago, when I decided to attend a Taylor Swift concert. Now, before you grab your pitchforks, let me explain. I wasn't there for the music. No, I was there on a mission. A mission to bring a little truth and patriotism to a crowd that desperately needed it. Picture it. A sea of glitter-covered millennials, screaming teenagers, and moms holding overpriced merch. And then there was me, Blake Winchester, standing tall in my American flag blazer and cowboy boots, holding a sign that said, "Freedom isn't free, but love songs sure are cheap." Subtle? No. Effective? You bet. The concert started, and let me tell you, folks, it was like being in a parallel universe. The crowd was losing their minds over songs about scarves and breakups, while I stood there thinking about the sacrifices our troops make every day. So, during a quiet moment, I saw my chance. I stepped up on my chair, held my sign high, and started reciting the Pledge of Allegiance at full volume. Now, you'd think that would inspire some applause, maybe even a few teary-eyed patriots joining in. But no. Instead, I was met with confusion, boos, and, believe it or not, a handful of glitter being thrown in my face. One teenage girl yelled, "You're ruining Taylor's vibe!" Ruining her vibe? Folks, if anyone's vibe was getting ruined, it was mine. I was trying to inject a little patriotism into the night, and I was treated like a lunatic. But I didn't back down. I finished the pledge, saluted the crowd, and sat back down with my head held high. That's the thing about standing up for what's right. It's not always easy, and it's definitely not popular. But it's necessary. And as I sat there, covered in glitter and metaphorical scars, I realized something. This is the battle we're fighting. A battle for the soul of America, waged not just in politics, but in our culture, our schools, and yes, even our concerts. And that brings me back to today. Because what we're seeing now with Brat Summer and Swifty Fever is the culmination of years of cultural erosion. It's the final push by the elites to replace values with vanity, tradition with triviality, and pride with passivity. But I've got news for them. Not on my watch. Let's talk about what's really going on here. Take Brat Summer, for example. On the surface, it's being marketed as a youth empowerment movement. They're calling it a time for kids to reclaim their individuality and challenge outdated norms. But what does that really mean? I'll tell you what it means. It's a license for kids to act like hooligans, disrespect their parents, and reject every value that built this country. I read about a kid who told his mom he wouldn't mow the lawn because it didn't align with his personal brand. His personal brand? Folks, when I was his age, my personal brand was do what your parents tell you or get grounded. But this kid, he's being celebrated as a trailblazer. He's posting TikToks about his so-called activism while his lawn looks like a jungle. And instead of calling it what it is, laziness, they're calling it a movement. A movement to do what, exactly? Watch Netflix and let the weeds take over? And then there's Swifty Fever, which, mark my words, is just another arm of the same machine. Don't let the sparkly costumes fool you. This isn't about music. This is about distraction. While millions of Americans are glued to their phones watching Taylor Swift sell out stadiums, the real power players are quietly dismantling our freedoms. Let me give you a little analogy. When I was a kid, my dad and I would go to air shows. We'd watch the planes loop and dive. And my dad would always say, Blake, watch the guy who isn't making any noise. That's the one you've got to worry about. It's the same with politics. The loud, flashy stuff. The concerts. The social media trends. The celebrity gossip. That's the air show. But the quiet stuff? The bills being passed. The policies being slipped through the cracks. That's the silent fighter jet heading straight for your freedoms. So, what do we do about it? How do we fight back against a culture that's turned its back on everything we hold dear? I'll tell you how. We start by reclaiming our traditions. We hang those bald eagle flags in our front yards. We teach our kids the value of hard work, even if it means mowing the lawn ourselves, as an example. And we stop spending our hard-earned money on overpriced concert tickets and start investing it in things that matter, like American-made goods and local businesses. And let me be clear. This isn't just about resisting the woke mob. This is about building a better future. A future where kids know the Pledge of Allegiance by heart, where families eat dinner together without their phones, and where the only thing louder than a Taylor Swift concert is the roar of a bald eagle soaring through the sky. Now, I know this might sound like a lot, but trust me, it's worth it. Because the alternative is unthinkable. The alternative is a generation of kids who think freedom is just another TikTok trend, who see patriotism as something to be mocked instead of celebrated. And I don't know about you, but I refuse to let that happen. Patriots, let me take you on a journey back to one of my most inspired, yet tragically misunderstood, endeavors. My attempt to instill grit and character into the fragile youth of today through my very own after-school program. It wasn't just any program, folks. This was the kind of initiative that could have shaped the future of this great nation. But, as is so often the case, the weak-minded couldn't handle my vision. Now, when I first pitched Winchester's Warriors, Grit for Greatness, to the school board, I thought they'd be thrilled. Here I was, a red-blooded patriot offering my time, my resources, and my unparalleled wisdom to teach kids the value of hard work, discipline, and respect. But no, they balked at the idea, calling it unrealistic, outdated, and my personal favorite, borderline exploitative. Exploitative. The audacity. So I did what any self-respecting American would do when faced with bureaucratic red tape. I went rogue. If the school didn't want to host my program, fine. I'd host it myself. And what better place than the Winchester Homestead? My house, with its sprawling backyard, antique tool shed, and a front porch that practically screams freedom, was the perfect setting for this operation. The first step was recruitment. I printed flyers with bold, patriotic imagery. Think bald eagles and stars and stripes, plastered with the tagline, real grit, real work, real rewards. I handed them out at soccer games, slipped them into library books, and even posted one on the community bulletin board outside the hardware store. My pitch was simple. Send your kids to me, and I'll turn them into the leaders of tomorrow. Amazingly, six families signed up. Parents were eager, too eager, in hindsight, to drop their kids off at my doorstep every weekday afternoon. They thought this was going to be some sort of character-building babysitting service. And to be fair, I did say there'd be life lessons. I just didn't specify that the lessons would involve hard labor and a return to what I affectionately called the old Southern traditions of discipline. On the first day, I gathered the kids in my backyard. Ages ranged from 8 to 14. I stood before them in my boots and American flag apron, holding a clipboard and a whistle. Welcome to Winchester's Warriors, I bellowed. Today, you take your first step toward greatness. But greatness isn't given. It's earned. And you're going to earn it right here. The kids looked a little unsure, but I pressed on. I explained the schedule. Chores to teach responsibility, history lessons to instill patriotism, and a bit of physical labor to build grit. Simple, right? But, folks, here's where things started to unravel. The first task I assigned was cleaning out the tool shed. Now, I'll admit, the shed hadn't been touched in years. It was packed with rusty rakes, broken lawnmowers, and enough cobwebs to make a haunted house jealous. But I figured this was the perfect opportunity to teach the kids about perseverance. "Think of this shed as your first great obstacle," I said, handing out gloves and brooms. "When it's clean, you'll feel the sweet satisfaction of a job well done. Now hop to it." The kids started begrudgingly, but it didn't take long for the complaints to roll in. "It smells weird in here. Why is there a dead mouse? Blake, I think I got tetanus from this nail." Typical modern kids, afraid of a little dirt and hard work, I ignored the whining and encouraged them to push through. "Pain is temporary," I said. "Grit is forever." Next, I assigned them to rake my front yard. Now, to be fair, I did have them rake the leaves into neat piles so they could jump into them afterward. I'm not a monster. But after about 20 minutes, one kid, Billy, piped up and said, "Isn't this just your yard work?" "Well, Billy," I said, crouching down to meet him at eye level, "do you think George Washington ever questioned why he had to cross the Delaware?" "No. He did it because it needed to be done. And you, young man, are learning the same valuable lesson." Billy didn't look convinced, but I wasn't about to let dissent derail the program. So I moved them to the next activity, polishing my antique lawn ornaments. "Patriots, let me tell you, nothing says grit like scrubbing rust off a cast iron rooster in the blazing sun." "These aren't just decorations," I explained. "They're heirlooms. They're history. And history deserves respect." But the real trouble started when I introduced what I called Tradition Hour. This was where I'd gather the kids on the porch, pour myself a sweet tea, and tell them stories about the good old days. I even had them fan me with palm fronds, purely for historical accuracy, of course. Some of the parents didn't like the idea when they caught wind of it, saying it was demeaning and inappropriate. I argued that it was an immersive history lesson. They didn't see the vision. Things came to a head on week two when I introduced iron grit challenges. This involved activities like hauling firewood, digging trenches for my drainage system, and even scrubbing my grill. Tasks I described as essential skills for any true patriot. One kid, Sophia, asked why we were digging trenches. "For drainage and for discipline," I replied. She didn't buy it. The breaking point came when the kids were tasked with repainting my picket fence. Now, I thought I was doing them a favor. I provided brushes, paint, and even lemonade. But when one of the kids splattered paint on his clothes, he started crying and called his mom. By the time she arrived, there were five parents on my lawn, demanding to know why their children were working under sweatshop conditions. "Folks," I tried to explain, "this isn't work. This is grit building. It's life preparation. Your kids will thank me someday." But they weren't having it. They took their kids and stormed off, threatening to report me to the authorities. The next day, I got a visit from Child Protective Services. Apparently, making kids rake leaves, scrub grills, and dig trenches qualifies as exploitation in today's soft society. I tried to explain my vision, but they just shook their heads and handed me a cease and desist order. Patriots, the program was shut down before it could reach its full potential. The local paper ran a hit piece titled "Blake Winchester's Grit Program." Harsh, outdated, and possibly illegal. Possibly illegal? What about definitely life-changing? Do I regret it? Not for a second. Because for two glorious weeks, I gave those kids a taste of what life could be if they embraced hard work and discipline. And even though the program ended in controversy, I like to think I planted a seed. Somewhere out there, one of those kids is going to look back and say, "You know what? Blake was right. Patriots, let me take a moment to share a story that truly shows how misunderstood I am in this so-called modern society. After the unfortunate and unjust closure of my Winchester's Warriors Grit for Greatness program, I thought I could move on with my life. But no, folks, apparently today's parents aren't satisfied with yanking their kids out of something revolutionary. They want to lawyer up and turn it into a federal case. That's right. Just last week, I found myself face to face with one of those families' attorneys, sitting at a conference table in some sterile, soulless office, defending the honor of my program and the completely reasonable activities I planned for their precious little darlings. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty, let me remind you of something. Everything I did was for the kids. Every challenge, every activity, every so-called violation of child labor laws was designed to build character, not lawsuits. But of course, some people can't see the bigger picture. So there I was, seated across from this smug, overpaid attorney who probably hasn't lifted anything heavier than a golf club in his life. He starts by pulling out a list. Yes, a list of grievances. And right at the top, bold as can be, were the words, obstacle courses, reckless endangerment. Reckless endangerment? I said, laughing. Sir, those courses were meticulously designed to teach grit, resilience, and problem solving. If anything, they were educational. But he wouldn't let it go. He kept pressing me about the details. Mr. Winchester, he said, can you explain why you thought it was appropriate to have an 8-year-old crawl through a mud pit filled with chicken wire and, according to witnesses, actual broken glass? Absolutely, I replied, cool as a cucumber. The mud pit was symbolic. It represented the challenges of life, dirty, tough, and often sharp. And the chicken wire? That was a lesson in awareness. Life doesn't give you clear paths, so you have to stay focused. The glass, well, that might have been an oversight, but hey, real life is full of oversights too. He didn't look impressed. Next, he brought up the Wall of Destiny, a towering wooden structure I built in my backyard using old fence posts and duct tape. Patriots, let me tell you, that wall was a masterpiece. It wasn't just a physical challenge, it was a metaphor. But apparently the parents didn't appreciate the brilliance. The Wall of Destiny? The lawyer sneered. You had children climb a 12-foot wall without safety harnesses, and several of them reported splinters, bruises, and one even fell into a bush full of bees. Well, I said, first of all, let's talk about that bush. Those bees were part of nature, and nature builds toughness. As for the splinters and bruises, those are just badges of honor. And the 12 feet? Please, I measured it myself. It was barely 11 and a half. At this point, I could feel my blood boiling, but I kept my composure. That is, until he brought up the Freedom Fire Gauntlet. Now, this was my crowning achievement, folks. A course that combined endurance, courage, and a little bit of pyrotechnic flair. The kids had to sprint through a series of hoops while sparklers and firecrackers went off around them. It was exhilarating, inspiring, and, dare I say, patriotic. Mr. Winchester, the attorney said, his voice dripping with condescension, do you understand how dangerous it is to have children running through live fireworks? Dangerous? I shot back. Those weren't fireworks. They were sparklers, harmless little sparks of light to teach them about focus under pressure. And let me tell you something else, sir. Not a single kid got burned. A few singed shoelaces, maybe, but that's just part of the experience. By now, I could tell the lawyer wasn't buying any of it. He started going on about negligence, emotional trauma, and irreparable damage, throwing around legal jargon like he was reading off a menu. Meanwhile, I sat there thinking, what about the irreparable damage to America when we raise a generation of soft, entitled kids who can't even handle a little grit? Finally, he asked if I'd be willing to settle. Settle? Patriots, the word alone makes my skin crawl. But then he dropped the bomb. The parents of little Timmy, who, might I add, was the most enthusiastic participant in the program, were demanding compensation for what they called inhumane conditions. What conditions? I asked, genuinely baffled. The lemonade breaks? The historical reenactments on the porch? Or was it the valuable lessons they learned painting my fence? He didn't answer. Instead, he handed me a stack of papers, each one filled with accusations that made my stomach turn. For the sake of everyone involved, he said, we recommend you agree to these terms and avoid further legal action. Patriots, I won't lie to you. In that moment, I felt betrayed. Betrayed by a society that doesn't value hard work, by parents who don't understand the importance of discipline, and by a legal system that prioritizes feelings over freedom. I wanted to stand up, throw those papers in his face, and march out of there with my head held high. But I didn't. You know why? Because I'm a fighter, and fighters pick their battles. Still, as I sit here recounting this story, I can feel the anger bubbling up inside me. Not because I failed. No, because I succeeded. And the world just couldn't handle it. Those kids were on the path to greatness, and their parents robbed them of it. I need to wrap this up before I say something that'll land me in even more hot water. Patriots, let me leave you with this. Don't let the naysayers and the weak-minded stop you from doing what you know is right. The next time someone accuses you of being outdated or reckless, just remember, grit doesn't apologize. Coming up next, we're diving into another story of resilience, this time involving a bald eagle, a bag of fireworks, and a lesson in true American bravery. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the Freedom Flame Podcast Network, where truth burns brighter than the lies of the mainstream. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Real patriots don't hesitate. They take action. They stand tall. They hit that subscribe button like their freedom depends on it, because it does. Don't be the weak link in the chain of liberty. Subscribe now, or spend the rest of your days explaining why you let your country down when it needed you most. The Freedom Flame is watching. America is watching. Make the right choice now.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org.